It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 8th day of March, 2022. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. In the 3 hours, this program is live, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, the great globe round. Hi, I'm Robin. And if you pop by there right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole, Squeaky, Stockton Larry, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, as well as his trusted aide-de-camp, all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Yeah, you know, it's weird, the little coincidences. I don't know anything about statistics, and I don't know how to calculate them or anything, but this 8th day of March is, in fact, the second Tuesday in March. And it's weird because I was reading, actually rereading. I'm making my way through the Travis McGee novels again, just because John D. McDonald wrote some really enjoyable murder mystery type stuff. And I decided, and it's always kind of anthropologically fascinating. And lo and behold, I found a passage in there, and I was reading it, and it was like, this is just so freaking ironic. I can hardly stand myself. We were making our way in from the north on the second Tuesday in March, and I'm reading it on the second Tuesday in March, going, what? What are the odds? Anyway, nonetheless, happy International Women's Day. This is my second, and I've just sort of, it's been much on my mind today because, let's see, Vladimir Putin is marking International Women's Day by slaughtering innocent women and children in Ukraine. Western nations are marking International Women's Day 2022 by stuffing legal writs in the muzzles of tank barrels. And, oh, God. Looks like this might be one of those little Ray of Sunshine programs. Sorry. But I'm ahead of myself because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. As such, we send out thanks to our 8th day of the month subscribers over on PayPal. That means immense thanks to our dear friend Susan, and to Dwayne, and to Marcia, and to Nancy, and to Brendan. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. And remember, we have a matching challenge for new subscribers, which we badly need. There's room for 5 new subscribers at $10 a piece, working out to a little less than the price of half a McDonald's hamburger from the dollar menu. Not quite half a burger, though. Let's not get hungry. per hour of programming. Not shabby, really, considering what this is. And anybody, up to five people who subscribe, brand new subscribers, our pal Zed will double your first month subscription. Isn't that kind? I think that's really sweet, and it's really helpful. Because the fundraising goal for this evening is, well, $800. So that's all of today, all of yesterday, and $200 of Friday. So we're still not done funding last week. Hopefully we'll get to it. The everybody, if you're, unless you're new to the program, everybody knows that the PayPal interface is right there on the main page at headon.live. And program note, I will be away from the program for more in, for at least, well, I'll probably get an hour in of the program on More In Monday, but I have a women's caucus meeting, Democratic Party thing, that's taking place at 6:30 on Monday evening, and I'll be attending that. Let's see, that's most of the housekeeping. Yeah, it is. So I thought, because, well, International Women's Day, and the thing is, when International Women's Day, is it always on Tuesday? Well, this one is, and it happens to coincide with Titanic Tuesday, and of course, Titanic Tuesday is the day that we note manifestations of Titanic right-wing intellect here on the Horn. And wow, have I got a doozy. Now, he doesn't spell his name quite the same as the greasy-headed old B-movie actor Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself, but Robert Reagan, R-E-G-A-N, is running for a seat in the Michigan legislature. And this story is just so weird and kind of convoluted that it really makes your brains feel like marbles, you know? So what we have here is an online interview, a conversation between the aforementioned Robert Reagan and an interviewer. And this is a real Lulu. It comes from Fox 17 in West Michigan. He was talking to a Facebook Live group for the Michigan Rescue Coalition. Now, in the... damn it, why is that thing still on? Ah, so much better. Because it doesn't need to be more than 71 degrees in the studio. Now, the Michigan Rescue Coalition, I'm thinking, has this got something to do with kitties and puppies? No? No? Well, maybe these are those anti-choice weirdos, but no, Operation Rescue has kind of gone to ground. Oh, no. The Michigan Rescue Coalition is apparently a group of barking, grunting, hooting maggot freaks who still think that Nitwit Nero really won Michigan and really won re-election. Yeah, right. And so, in this Facebook Live conversation, Robert Reagan, a Republican candidate for the Michigan State House in House District 74, was strenuously arguing that all was not lost, all hope was not gone, that someday, somehow, before January 20th, 2025, that Nitwit Nero might yet return in all his glory to president on us some more. And so he said, that decertification of the 2020 election was not impossible. It could still happen. And then, by way of an analogy, He said, it's not inevitable that this has failed. Having three daughters, I tell my daughters, if rape is inevitable, you should just lie back and enjoy it. No, really, really. If rape is inevitable, you should just lie back and enjoy it. What must it be like for those three young women to be the daughter of that disgusting monster? Of course, when the backlash began, well, the host of the Facebook Live event, Adam D'Angeli, said, or Angelini, don't know, it's spelled both ways, it's a Fox website, what do you want? The natural Republican deflection, I think he misspoke. Stockton Larry in the chat room, Michigan's father of the year, you bet, Republican father of the year. And of course, D'Angeli said, maybe not the best analogy, but he was speaking extemporaneously. Sure. Yeah. And Regan himself said, you know what? I was taken out of context. Yes. Them liberals, they done tooken me out of they tooken me out of context. That's what it is. MAGA, y'all. Wait a minute, cowbell for Steve and Steve from Georgia Stan. Hold on to your dreams, Mr. Regan. Flavio. Flavio responding. Subject line, inevitable. Lie still, think of the empire. It was only yesterday that I was asking if it is inappropriate, along the lines of the way what the Empire of Japan did to Nanking China, which has historically been referred to as the Rape of Nanking. Is it inappropriate to use that word for anything except what it is? I don't know. But what it is, as horrible it is, as it is, and how many women, the shocking percentage of women who have been subjected to some form thereof, is of course a national disgrace. But the other part of all of this is that while the Republican Party in Michigan said, oh, this is disgraceful, oh, these comments are terrible, no, what those comments are typical. Those are typical Republican talking points and have been for a very, very long time. Let's see. Let's go back in time. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 quotes here. 5 of them are from men. All 6 of them are from Republicans. Apparently, Robert Regan was channeling one Clayton Williams, a Republican from Texas. Rape is kind of like the weather. If it's inevitable, relax and enjoy it. Then there's Todd Akin of Missouri, who I think has since gone to hell, or his grave. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to shut that thing down. And then there's noted fetus fondler, Rick Sanctum Santorum, former senator from Pennsylvania, who said, rape victims should make the best of a bad situation. These are all quotes. Richard Murdoch of Talibandiana said, even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, that is something that God intended to happen. So, ladies, God meant for that, and non-binary people and trans guys, that's something that God meant for to happen to you. So, you can either, I guess, thank God, or maybe understand that God hates your guts. And let's see, then there's Lawrence Lockman, a Republican from Maine, who said, if a woman has the right to an abortion, why shouldn't a man be free to use his superior strength to force himself on a woman? At least the rapist's pursuit of sexual freedom doesn't, in most cases, result in anyone's death. You know, it's the in most cases part that makes it art. Lawrence Lockman. And then a true disgrace to her gender. Naturally, she comes from Texas. Jody Laubenberg, who said, in the emergency room, they have what's called rape kits where a woman can get cleaned out. So, welcome Robert Regan to the Hall of the Republican mainstream Hall of Shame for having told your daughters that if they're raped, to just lie back and enjoy it. You know, a person could be forgiven for thinking that maybe Robert Regan, from over on that side of the gender divide, thinks rape might be kind of fun. God, they're disgusting. I mean, I suppose that's over-described, or perhaps under, but... And someday I'd like to be shocked by this. But listen, let's add International Women's Day to the list of... holidays when Republicans should just shut the fuck up. I mean, Martin Luther King birthday holiday. Republicans, shut the fuck up. You're only going to say something stupid. International Women's Day, Republicans, shut the fuck up. You have nothing to say on this holiday. What other holidays do the Republicans need to take off? Yes, says Darlene in Connecticut, just lie back and enjoy the crime being committed on you and in you. Sorry for the pun here, but what a bunch of fucking assholes. It's shit like this that makes me think we are simply not going to survive as a species, let alone a country. Here are some statistics. Every 68 seconds, someone in the United States is sexually assaulted, and 9 out of every 10 victims of rape is female. That's from the Department of Justice. Every 9 minutes, a claim of child sexual abuse is substantiated by Child Protective Service workers, and 93% of perpetrators are known to the child victims. The reason it's every 68 seconds someone in the United States is sexually assaulted, that's every 1 minute and 8 seconds, but it's every 9 minutes a claim of child sexual abuse is substantiated. In both instances, those numbers are probably lower if you get to... If you get to the statistical part, which is really kind of hard to reach, and you take into account the ones that aren't reported. Mine was never reported. Who's a 5-year-old going to report to? I mean, it took me a lifetime. Literally a lifetime. To be able to talk about it. And it is still difficult. And it is still painful. And it is still traumatic. And as much or more so for anyone else who has ever been through it. But, you know, don't don't expect any kind of mea culpa or anything like that from Robert Regan. And just as when I announced the happy news yesterday that after 200 attempts, roughly two a year for 100 years, the Congress had actually finally passed an anti-lynching law, and said that must and it was, you know, there were three dissenters in the House, and it was God. I think near unanimous in the Senate. I said, Jesus, the Republicans must be really scared because things are kind of going sideways for them. What with you know, a governor in Texas and a governor in Alabama and a Republican governor and God only knows how many other states who have chosen the Vladimir Putin side of the LGBTQ debate. Well, so too in Michigan, the GOP there said. Well, they described Regan's comments as, the headline says, slammed. Tory Sachs is with the Michigan Freedom Fund. And Tory Sachs said, R.J. Regan's disgusting and dehumanizing comments on the horror of sexual assault, along with his support of murderous dictator Vladimir Putin, are despicable and completely disqualify him from holding public office. I teach my four young daughters to stand up for themselves, to know their worth, and to fight back and speak out against creeps like Regan. R.J. Regan doesn't belong anywhere near the state capitol, and that is why we endorsed and supported his opponent. Nice try, Tory. But, well, you're at odds with your party. The war on women's been going on for a while. I mean, it was, God, it was 2012 when that paragon of patrician virtue, Bishop Willard Romney, was crisscrossing the country talking about his binders full of women. R.J. Regan ran for office 2 years ago in Michigan. At that point in time, his daughter Stephanie said via Twitter, if you're in Michigan and 18 plus, for the love of God, do not vote for my dad for state representative. Tell everyone. Bless your heart, Stephanie. And he lost that race. But he is the presumptive favorite to have the Republican nomination this year. And it's for the 74th House District. My knowledge of Michigan geography is spotty at best. But he won the special election for the Republican nomination last week. He got 32.9% of the vote and beat the nearest competition by 81 votes. Oh, dear. Kent County in West Michigan. And I'm sure it didn't make R.J. Regan very happy. Back in 2020, he said, well, all my four children and only want what is best for them. We may not always agree on what is best, but their best is my goal. And apparently their best includes lying back and enjoying being raped. The day after the special election, the Republican Party congratulated R.J. Regan. Meanwhile, he's going to he'll be going up against, in the Democrat he'll be facing is Carol Glanville. She said, as a woman, human, and public servant, I am stunned that a person who wishes to hold public office would hold such beliefs. I did not think I would need to clearly state on the campaign trail that rape is never inevitable, acceptable, or warranted, and is the worst type of personal violation anyone could ever experience. In empathy and compassion, I stand with survivors everywhere while defending human rights. Good for her. But the bottom line remains, that's the Republican Party. Plain and simple. I mean, this thing's been getting some traction, but I haven't seen anything yet to suggest that Little Miss Three Names has offered up a comment on it. It'll be like catnip to her. By the way, our pal Joy in Ann Arbor, also in Michigan, has a new name that we are all free to use with Little Miss Three Names. Marginal Trailer Queen. That's quality. Very much so. Marginal Trailer Queen. So that's a starting point. Thanks for the statistics, Darlene. They're much, I much appreciate them. Horrifying though they are. And on this International Women's Day, we can take a peep over at, say, how about the Show Me Your Papers, Please state. Mary Elizabeth Coleman is, of course, a maggot, a pig licking in Missouri. She's a sitting member of the Missouri House of Representatives down in Jefferson City. And she has introduced a new piece of legislation. Yeah, I thought, Ralphs, I agree. I thought Marginal Trailer Queen deserved a big old cowbell, too. Mary Elizabeth Coleman has introduced legislation. Again, it's another one of those godforsaken bounty laws that Texas started. And she's introduced a bill in the Missouri House that lets private Missourians sue anyone who aids a citizen of Missouri to go out of state for reproductive care, also to wit, an abortion. Yeah, the party of small government. And it strikes again. They want to make it, at least in Missouri, so that women become prisoners in their own states. And she has put it on as an amendment in a handful of abortion-related bills that have all made it all the way through their committee assignments and are waiting for floor votes. Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who has no business celebrating International Women's Day, says, if your neighboring state doesn't have pro-life protections, it minimizes the ability to protect the unborn in your state. Now, never mind the fact that no state has the broad power to prevent their citizens from moving between states. The Republicans don't care. They will do what they want and then leave it to the six wild-eyed maniacs from the Federalist Society to say, yeah, sure, go ahead. International Women's Day. I saw footage coming out of Poland today with women being greeted with flowers as they fled their war-ravaged existence in Ukraine. So sad. But it was at least a... It was a kind gesture. A welcoming gesture. Let's go to Florida, shall we? And another woman who has no business celebrating International Women's Day. That would be State Senator Ileana Garcia, Republican, of course. Maybe we should change the name of it to International Women Who Aren't Republicans Day. She got, during the debate on the Don't Say Gay bill, she decided to seek recognition, to stand up and unburden herself for 15 minutes in support of the fascist Don't Say Gay bill. A bill that would stop children, for instance, from being able to mention the fact that they had two mommies or two daddies. But that's okay with Ileana Garcia. And it turns out, as is so often the case with Republicans, when they need to shit on somebody, they try to provide some level of validation by saying, I have a fill-in-the-blank friend. Oh, well, guess whose turn it is here? Sure.
Republican...
Oh, dear God. What a hot mess.
What LGBT is. And by the way, gay is not a permanent thing. LGBT is not a permanent thing. And it-
really? I'm pretty sure there are several members of this radio community who have been permanently gay all of their life. I don't, it's not like changing one's socks. Dear God, these people. Oh, well, let's let her continue about the impermanence of LGBT. Because I don't even understand what that means.
It's not a bad thing. I say with all due respect when they say targeting, this isn't at all about targeting. I think this is about perhaps rerouting the responsibilities back to the parents.
Wow, that certainly sounds like word salad. Rerouting responsibilities back to the parents. I guess nobody ever explained to Ileana Garcia that when they're at school, when children are at school, the school, and thereby the state, stands in loco parentis. That means their parents are crazy. No, it doesn't. It means in the place of the parents. And so to suggest that one is going to reroute the responsibilities back to the parents, I guess that means the parents have to come to school every day. Doesn't it?
Is what I think that this bill wants to once again delineate. And I wanted to take a good look at everyone, and I wanted everyone to look at me because Senator Garcia will support this bill today, but I want to explain why. There's Carla with the United Teachers of Dade. I want to make sure that she heard this as well.
Wow, calling out the opposition in your own state house. Name-checking people who oppose you. Isn't that just, well, aren't you something, Ileana? Yeah, Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, permanent. Yep, permanent, incurable, always and forever, gold star, gay, gay, gay. How long until they pass a gays must wear burqa law so they don't have to see how fabulous we are? I know. Now that maybe we're past the "Hello, Cleveland" portion of her oration, we can get to the hockey puck part. Did I mention there should be a hockey puck involved? Get the hockey puck in the duct tape. You'll thank me later.
You know, I don't like to use this tag. When I introduce my friends, I don't say, "This is my best gay friend." No, this is my best friend.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't have a best gay friend. I mean, do you think she has a best gay friend? I don't.
Or, "This is my lesbian aunt." No, this is my...
No. Her lesbian aunt. How are things in Beirut, Ileana?
My aunt. You know, people are people because of their qualities, not because of their identity and their sexuality.
Yeah, but see, honey, their identity and their sexuality is what makes up their personness. Personhood. See, she wants to erase gayness, lesbianness, bisexuality, transness, queerness. And it ain't okay. I mean, I talk about being trans because I feel like visibility is something very important for our community, even if I'm invisible because this is only a radio program. And even if most of the time I sound like a dude, trying real hard not to. But she's trying to make people think that somehow or another she's actually being enlightened on the subject. But don't worry, she's going to prove in just a minute that she's really, really, really not.
And I think a lot of the people here on the floor, including Senator Jones, knows that I am very inclusive and I'm very open with regards to that. As a matter of fact, once again, my circle of friends, all LGBT, but I don't pander on that. I will never.
The word salad just keeps getting tossed. I don't pander on that. Lately, I've been noticing how much deviltry there is in prepositions. I don't pander on that. I don't think one panders on. Oh, there goes that Ileana again. She just panders on and on and on. No, I don't think it works that way. I don't really even know what pander on means. It almost sounds German.
You will never, ever find Senator Garcia pandering the LGBT community for a vote, ever.
Oh, that means she knows that gay people are not going to fucking vote for her Republican ass. Okay, it only took a minute. No, if you're a member of the LGBTQ community and you vote for Ileana Garcia, you do it in spite of her, not because she's actually pretended she gives a flying fuck about lesbians, gays, bisexuals, trans, transsexuals, transgender, queer, queer questioning, intersex, asexual, etc. By the way, a career path suggestion. Scott in San Diego says, I have one for that crazy permanence lady. She really should be demonstrating nonstick frying pans in a department store bargain basement someplace. But I will never pander on the nonstick quality of these frying pans.
Because I have a son and I have relatives and I have people that I love. So first and foremost, I think that what I haven't heard on this floor, and seldom do I talk, is exactly...
Not seldom enough.
Exactly what LGBT is.
Oh, wait, the straight lady's going to explain to everybody what LGBT is. Pop the popcorn. Settle in.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans. One thing is sexuality, and another thing is identity. You can identify as the opposite, but not necessarily like the opposite sex. I'll give you...
I really hope you took the hockey puck warning seriously. You can identify as the opposite, but not necessarily the opposite sex. She doesn't have a script in front of her. I don't know if she memorized this beforehand, but she's got an example because something tells me she has a trans friend. Oh.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans. One thing is sexuality, and another thing is identity. You can identify as the opposite, but not necessarily like the opposite sex. I'll give you an example. A very good friend of mine.
Of course.
Trans, went through the whole transition as an older man, 58 years old.
I'm thinking, okay, when you describe your trans friend and say that your friend, your trans friend went through the entire transition as an older man, honey, I think you just erased him some more. Or actually erased her. See how this goes? But Ileana Garcia is absolutely mystified. Because while she can say lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans, one gets the idea she really doesn't understand what any of those words means. You keep using those words. I don't think they mean what you think they mean.
Became a woman, and guess what?
Became a woman. That's one of those moments. There's no becoming. It's who one has always been. It is simply that one finally begins to present outwardly what one has always been inwardly. Always, 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 always. But let's cut Ileana some slack, for God's sakes. I mean, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of... Yeah, whatever.
The opposite, but not necessarily like the opposite sex. I'll give you an example. A very good friend of mine, trans, went through the whole transition as an older man, 58 years old, became a woman, and guess what? He still likes women.
Really? He still likes women. She has apparently not detransitioned. She's still on her estrogen, maybe some progesterone, maybe some testosterone blockers. But her trans friend, she calls he. And still likes women. Lesbians. No, not the lesbians. Not the, please, Jesus, no.
He still likes women. He went through the whole process. And we'd laugh together and I'd say, why do you want to deal with the hormones? Why do you want to have to worry about the extensions and the hair and the boobs and the nails? And he loved it.
Yeah, he loved it. Hey. And notice Ileana here says, and we laughed about it. Well, she was probably laughing, but she was dying inside. Trust me. Or else she was, Jesus Christ, I can't believe this person thinks I'm her friend. Because, you know, people make mistakes, and they make it in good faith. They make good faith mistakes. Happens a lot. And it doesn't hurt one's feeling. Because you recognize that it was an innocent mistake, and you say, well, no, not he, honey, she. And, you know, this clip's been out there for a day or so. One hopes that maybe this trans friend has maybe reached out to Ileana and said, sweetie, we got to talk. Then again, there's probably a pretty good chance that that trans friend hasn't reached out to Ileana Garcia, because since this is a Republican talking, the trans friend is probably no more real than the Lucky Charms leprechaun or hobbits or hillbillies. Still likes women. You know, please, please, fake baby Jesus, let someone explain the concept of trans lesbians to Ileana Garcia, because trans lesbians are real. Some trans lesbians talk about the fact that they went through a lifetime of performative compulsory heterosexuality, and at the same time that they were trans. To be trans is not to become, oh God, attracted to dudes. Although a lot of trans women actually try, because they feel culturally forced into that box. And the means whereby one takes care of one's body in the weeks and months and years after surgery kind of presupposes one for something that looks like male-female activity, without getting into too much detail.
And when he went through the transition and had an experience, a sexual experience, with all due respect, there were children, and I say this with respect.
Godfather, I say this with respect.
You realize that he continued to like women.
In short, she realized she is a lesbian. I know, it gets difficult after a while, Ron. Ron and Raleigh, please tell me. I've been alive a lot longer than this dim-witted heifer, and I've never, and I mean never, heard anyone introduce a friend as gay or bi or trans or any goddamn thing else. It's none of my business who my friends sleep with. Goddamn, these people piss me off. But sadly, I think they've won the culture war. All the anti-laws they've passed will be with us for the rest of my life. But, well, that, I hope you're wrong, Ron. You might be true, but you might be correct, but it's not just these laws, it's the next round. If you can send a law to the floor of the Missouri State House that takes away freedom of movement from cis women, oh God. What can you do to the LGBTQ community that you haven't already done? I'm afraid to even ask that question. Jesus. Camps. Criminal. Gender-affirming hormone therapy on the schedule of prescribed drugs, you know, right there with heroin. It's already hard enough for the trans guys to get testosterone, because since it is a powerful steroid, it's on the list of controlled substances. I have to, and I pay $130 a month for it. I have to go and get a prescription for the estrogen that I take once a week. And that is hard enough as it is. What happens to the trans community if you just make it illegal to have gender-affirming hormone therapy? Because that's where they're starting, with the little kids. But Ron says, sadly, I think they've won the culture war, and part of that reason is because we are... Oh, we say this with every issue, don't we? We are so, so, so bad at the messaging. I mean, I would love for this program to have a far greater reach than it does. Maybe we could start to manipulate the language a little bit. Maybe things like marginal trailer queen, Representative Marginal Trailer Queen, could get some legs. Maybe Texas Governor Greg Putin, Texas Governor Vlad Putin, I mean, Vlad Abbott, could get legs. Maybe we could have a little bit more success in talking about the shocking similarities between Vladimir Putin's view on trans women and the rest of the LGBTQ community in Mother Russia, and how shockingly identical they are to the attitudes of, Alabama Governor K. Putin, where the community is concerned. But we don't, so we won't. And, well, there is a great hue and cry over at least the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida. And the only, the Republicans can only hear through their wallets. So to the extent that there is economic power in the LGBTQ community, it needs to be brought to bear. There are a lot of huge, wealthy, powerful corporations in a state like Florida. And there needs to be a movement saying, sorry, until you leverage the vast amounts of power you have against the state of Florida, against white supremacist adjacent pseudo-governor Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, who only became governor with the help of real live, no kidding, Nazis. No money for you from the consumers. I mean, we're not as stupid as Republicans, so we're not going to go out and blow up $700 coolers or set fire to $200 sneakers. But there needs to be pressure. In places like Texas and Alabama, it's a lot harder, though, because so few people actually give a good goddamn about trans kids. But economic pressure is about the only thing that has any likelihood of having an effect. But there was more. There was more to Ileana Garcia. That wasn't the sum total and extent of her stupidity. She brought some statistics with her. Maybe her imaginary trans friend provided them to her, because these statistics are imaginary too. She said, you know, a lot of people don't know that I think that the statistics are... Anybody want to diagram that sentence? You know, a lot of people I don't know that I think that the statistics are that 4 out of 7 people who do the full transition end up committing suicide because it's tough. Ileana, transition is harder than anything you will ever do in your miserable life. But the thing is, you do it not because it's easy, but because it is hard. It is difficult. And it's made difficult by shitty people like Ileana Garcia and Texas Governor Vlad Abbott. But no, 4 out of 7 people who go complete transition do not off themselves. Suicide ideation rates among trans youth drop from around 40% to about 3%. But thanks to the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans in places like Texas and Alabama and Arkansas, that suicide ideation and attempt rate will stay at 40%. Because the Republicans just haven't figured a way to get it to 100 yet. Nope, says Scott in San Diego. There's not enough chalk in the world to diagram that sentence. That sentence, yeah, I know. It's like, I don't know. It's like something that happens on the brown acid. That would be more than 50% of trans people committing suicide after transition. I know for a fact that we have that I have trans sisters and trans brothers and trans non-binaries in this community who are very much alive and very much committed to staying that way. I wonder if anybody, because the follow-up is not there. I wonder if anybody stood up in that august body in Tallahassee, Stan, and simply told Ileana Garcia what a goddamn dummy she is. What a monumentally stupid person she is. What a horrible, awful attempt at a human being she is. I'd like to think that there was, but I'm not willing to lose that money on a bet. Also, says Ron and Raleigh, all the anti-CRT laws, and remember the anti-critical race theory laws are going hand in hand with the don't say gay law in Florida, are going to make for a truly ignorant generation of white children. Lord, I know. Black parents will continue to teach their children the truth because the facts of this country's racist past is not going away. The only people who will be affected are white children who will not be made to feel bad, but will be as ignorant as a bag of hammer handles. They will not be able to take any advanced history courses. Enforced ignorance is going to lay waste to our educational system. Yes, Ron, and let me add, which is the goal? An entire generation of miseducated children is the goal of the Republicans because they know, after a generation of Fox News, TV, Radio, Rwanda, that an ill-informed populace is a manipulable populace. And manipulation is the goal. And ultimately, the end of the public education system. I recently completed my questionnaire for the American Federation of Teachers here in West Virginia. And being an educational union, they had essay questions. I answered them to the best of my ability, stating that when we talk about all the things that are wrong with a place like West Virginia, you can't have that conversation
without addressing right out of the box the fact that the hope of West Virginia lies in public education. And of any other state. But, and this is a rather a harrowing fact, really. I am in a minority in this state in holding true to those ideals. No state as poor and broken down as West Virginia can ever hope to crawl out of its benighted past without putting education first. And I mean first. Ahead of hydrocarbons, ahead of industrial development, ahead of everything. And the same goes for any poor state. And oddly enough, the states that are the most prosperous are also almost always the ones with robust, vigorous public education systems. I mean, if having Christian academies was some indicator, why did I emphasize that word that way? Was some indicator of economic success, well, hell, the Confederate South would be overflowing in riches and would be a land of milk and honey. It ain't. They ain't. The more Christian academies you have, the dumber the population is. I mean, there is a direct correlation. Isn't it?
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs. And the homosexuals.
Amen.
That used to be funny. Not so funny anymore. Matt in San Francisco says, you can't spell Ileana without ill. So true. Or ill is in there too. So for this International Women's Day, March 8th, 2022, that's the filler obster. And, you know, conversation is always welcome here. God, Scott just slayed me last night with the Mormon temple thing. But he's developed a real talent for that. So let's see here. We will take a brief break. Check in with Brad and Desi in the Green News Report, and come back to your calls. Can we do that? Kind of need to do that. So enjoy.
It's Tuesday, March 8, 2022.
We have to ensure that they don't generate unmanageable risks to energy supplies in European countries and beyond.
EU moves to cut dependence on Russian gas imports.
The plant spokesman warned of a real threat of nuclear danger from the attack.
Russian takeover of Ukraine nuclear plant underscores nuclear vulnerability in wartime. Plus,
cheers erupted at the United Nations Environment Assembly in Nairobi as 175 nations agreed to clean up the mess.
United Nations to create legally binding treaty to end global plastic pollution.
I'll believe it when I see it. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Actually, I see no inconsistency, by the way, in moving away from dependency on Russian
hydrocarbons to moving away from dependency on hydrocarbons altogether.
Well, neither do I, Boris Johnson. Nice to hear from a non-insane conservative. Sad how they went extinct in the U.S. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, as I understood it, everything was now okay, at least the danger passed at that nuclear power plant that was under fire in Ukraine. You got an update?
Yes, we do. In the wake of the Russian military's harrowing attack on Ukraine's largest nuclear power plant late last week, the International Atomic Energy Agency says it is still negotiating with Russia to allow in experts to help manage the safety of all of Ukraine's nuclear power facilities. Although no radiation releases were detected in that initial attack, the director general of the IAEA on Monday said that Russia's military assault on the power plant destroyed a small neutron generator in a building on the grounds in violation of international protection rules. Again, no radiation was released, but it was a serious, serious fire. The incident has triggered global alarm about the vulnerabilities of nuclear plants to wartime attacks. Meanwhile, benchmark oil prices are surging as traders react to the growing prospect of Western sanctions on Russian oil and gas exports that indirectly fund Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
React or capitalize on?
A bipartisan group of lawmakers in Congress say they've agreed on legislation that would bar Russian oil imports to the U.S., even though it would further spike gasoline prices. But European Union governments, dependent on Russia for about a third of their energy needs,
probably not a good idea.
On Tuesday, announced a plan to cut their reliance on Russian gas two-thirds by the end of this year. In a Monday press conference, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson cautioned that a full phase-out will take time, but it is the goal.
You can't simply close down use of oil and gas overnight. Clearly, there is going to be a transitional period. We're going to have to look for supply. We're going to have to look for substitute supplies from elsewhere, and we're going to have to do it together.
The UN International Energy Agency released a 10-point plan this week to cut Europe's dependence on Russian gas imports by about a third over the coming year. And they would do that by speeding up the replacement of gas-fired boilers with next-generation electric heat pumps, as Norway has done. The IEA projects that if the U.S. and other countries did the same, the more heat pumps that are installed year after year would increase the global supply of gas and displace Russian exports.
Moving from boilers to heat pumps can cut gas usage by a third?
Because they're all electric.
We should all do that.
Indeed. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Monday debunked attempts by Republicans, the American Petroleum Institute, and right-wing media to exploit the war in Ukraine for political purposes in demanding the release of more public lands for drilling and weaker regulations. Psaki said that federal policies are not preventing the oil and gas industry from increasing production right now on their existing stockpile of approved permits, but that transitioning away from fossil fuels is the smart strategy.
Right now, there are 9,000 unused approved permits to drill onshore. So I think you're misidentifying what the actual issue is. But if we're looking to the future and what we can do to prevent this from being a challenge in future crises, the best thing we can do is reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and foreign oil so that we're not worried about the whims of a foreign dictator.
Finally, some good news. The United Nations Environment Assembly late last week adopted an historic resolution aimed at ending the scourge of plastic pollution. They agreed to a framework to develop the world's first ever legally binding treaty to address the global plastic pollution problem due by the end of 2024. The new treaty would restrict the explosive growth of plastic pollution and its impacts over the entire plastics life cycle, from design to production to disposal. But there is a divide between major plastics producers like the fossil fuel industry, who want governments to focus on waste management and recycling.
Of course.
While the European Union and developing nations are aiming to reduce plastic production itself.
Good. Let's go with that one. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Clean up, girls and boys, let's clean up. Clean up, clean up. Let's help put tough things away. Clean up.
Always good, always informative. Brad and Desi and the Green News Report. We are into the second hour of the program. Fundraising goal of $800 and still at zero, which is tough. So hopefully that will change before the program ends. It would be most helpful if it did. Let's run over to the stress line and check in with our buddy Ken. Hey, Ken, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, Robin. Good to talk to you again.
It is good to talk to you. Glad you called.
I'm, oh, shit. I feel like I'm sitting on a rotten egg. Like, come on, people. This is how Robin survives. We need the money. I don't have a lot myself, but as a community, we all pitch in. Please.
Thank you, Ken. That's really that's really sweet of you to say. I appreciate that.
Well, I know it. Mr. Ridovo does that all the time, and you know, I kind of want to copy that a little bit. You know, not too much, but please, people, if you can, make a donation or help us survive as a community. This community is so important to me. There's no words to describe it. And you're the art of word knowing, and there's really no words to describe it.
Well, I appreciate that. And the, you know, this community sticks together beautifully. And it makes me really proud. The community that we've put together over almost, you know, it blows my mind, almost 20 years.
Yeah. Oh, that made me think of fraternity. Well, there's the fraternity of Kens. There's the Mr. Ken in Hawaii, correct?
Right, right. So there's at least two.
So, and he's in agriculture. Like, the agriculture out of that. Like, I don't like vegetables very much, but I like flowers. So.
Who doesn't like flowers?
Right, well. When you burn them, there's some special things happen.
Truth. True that. And you don't even necessarily, so, you don't even necessarily have to do that. It can be efficacious in other forms.
Right. You know, I wouldn't recommend it, but that's how I live my life. So, well, some guy told me the problem with drugs is they wear off.
it's like years and years ago, the genius Robin Williams said, cocaine is great. Yeah. It makes you feel like a new man. The problem is a half hour later, the new man wants a line, too.
Yeah, right. more.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm very, very familiar with it. Being like a working musician, I kind of got that. And you always want to duplicate the high from playing out live. There's something about it. Even at the bar, I prefer like the venues, the summer festivals, like a little stupid town in Pennsylvania, Stan. We did that, but what was amazing about those festivals, there's always one little kid, he impressed, maybe inspired to, you know, be the next, you know, Peter or Frick, Keith Moon, who knows?
Sure.
Or Dennis Chambers, or, Dennis played for Steely Dan, I think. Yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about your music, Ken.
No, you can't really make money at it.
No, it's like what Malloy says about radio. It's a great job, but a horrible business.
Right, right. Well, this is one of the few jobs that you can actually drink on the job.
Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, so there's that.
It's almost like it's an occupational hazard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it could be. As long as you don't make it one. I probably do. I'm probably more like Keith Moon than Neil Peart, but that's beyond what I want to say. I want to get down to the point. Women's Day has to be kind of special for you this year, doesn't it?
Like I said, it's my second one. It was special last year.
It is your second one.
Yeah, because I started my transition in. September of 2020.
Yeah.
So my first one was March of 2021, and this is my second. Mm-hmm. But this is more special because of what happened, you know, to take me further into the process this past November.
All right. Wow. That's amazing. I was thinking about the a woman who flowered, and I was thinking of other special women in our life. Viking warrior princess comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Your beautiful wife.
Ex, but yeah.
She's a special lady.
Very much so. Very
wow.
Cool.
And redhead, I married a redhead too, so I kind of have
kryptonite.
No, it's a fire in the belly that's so attractive. A fire in the head and fire in the belly.
Pretty much.
The passion. No, the passion is great.
You don't want to be on the wrong side of that.
Yeah. No. No. I get it. Wait, what else do I want to talk about? Okay, now I'm drawing a blank.
You're fine. Just breathe. It'll come to you.
I don't think so. Oh, wow. So, yeah, I learned how to make my own pizzas. And all that's pretty good because I don't have to take care of my mom anymore. So I'm trying to learn how to cook for myself.
How's that going?
It's kind of odd. Not well.
No?
No, not well.
That's kind of the way you answered the question. How's that going? Not well. That sounds like it's not a far cry from disastrous.
At least I got a couple kids. I'm gonna pawn some stuff on them. But I got a turkey from Thanksgiving. The stuff I don't want to eat anymore. I don't know. Need to make stew. Like I said, I have a stupid grill. I don't have a smoker, so there's some limitations with that. But try not to go too crazy on the cooking because I have other things to do.
Well, you know, there are some basics you can start with.
Yeah.
In terms of techniques, it's always good to know how to actually chop an onion.
For sure.
It's good to know how to put a quality cutting edge on a quality knife.
For sure.
If you've been listening the past few days, a couple of weeks ago we got into an extended conversation about the eponymous Senate Navy bean soup, and I haven't had that in a long time, so I made it. And wow, oh my God, it's so good! And if you've got a crock pot, it's hard to screw up beans.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, you just got to cook them a long time, right?
Not well. I mean, if you soak beans overnight in cold water, and the next morning you put them in the crock pot, a couple of bay leaves, cover them in water, put the crock pot on low, and just walk away, you'll have beans for dinner. And in fact, I always use a couple of split ham hocks, and then you take them out, take the bones out, take the fat out, chop up the ham, put it back in the soup. And this latest pot of Senate Navy bean soup is just mind-blowingly good. I sauteed onions and celery until they were tender, added them to the soup, and just let it cook for a while in the crock pot. And my God, with some sourdough toast or some cornbread or something, rib sticking.
Yeah, I'm interested in the bread. So, like with pizza, I'm trying to make my own bread. It's hard to get the oven hot enough, but I got a nice pizza stone. I've been doing it by hand. Screw the mixer. It's just easier enough to not have to wash one more dish.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Of course, if you're trying pizza, getting a good crust together is not easy. I mean, you started on something that's kind of difficult.
I have pretty good success with the. Nice, good bread flour. You know, quality bread flour, and it cooks up fast. First one I made with my new pizza stone turned out to be like a calzone. And folded over.
That's cool too.
I mean, it stuck to that, and I burned my middle finger and my right hand. So that's a nice little reminder. That gets hot. 550 degrees is pretty nasty.
Well,
hot.
It is, but you can. The other thing you can do is you can. They make them for working out on the grill. The silicone gloves.
Yeah.
They will protect you up to about 500 degrees.
Wow, that's nice. No, can't fix stupid.
Well. But there's you can't fix stupid, but you can educate ignorance.
I'm sorry. I'm so kind of self-deprecate.
I get it. I do it all the time.
Pathological way. So I got to stop. I got to learn how to not do that. So yeah, that's the other thing I want to say. I mean, you kind of helped me to be me. I came out because you had to hide, but I've been hiding from, you know, just being who I am. Just be who you are. And it's fascinating, Robin. It's like an epiphany to me.
Well, that's wonderful.
And that was insanely stupid, that is, but I'm not a shy guy, but honestly, I'm funny, and I'm smart enough, and I'm good enough, and God damn it, people like me.
There we go. Stuart Smalley.
Yeah, exactly. So, wow. You're so fun. I know. That's the other thing I wanted to say. I'm still like 3 months behind on the podcast. Well, I have a new updated computer, and I can't seem to play those files from White Rose to Windows Media Player.
Windows Media Player is a hot mess since Windows 10. And it's almost unusable, and the media player that they have now is not a lot of help. One of the, and you know, we're off in the tech weeds now. But one of the nicest things that happened in the software world was the return of Winamp. Oh, God. It's so nice. And it plays everything. You should be able to find
it. Can you spell it? Can you spell that?
Winamp.
W-I-N?
Yeah, W-I-N-A-M-P.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the upside of it was, to get out of the tech weeds, is I'm 3 months behind. I see how far ahead of the curve that you are. Because you have always been ahead of the curve. And what's amazing about your program, oh, gosh, you're so smart. tell her to get the C-clamp out.
Yeah, I know.
You're just so smart. Or the bar clamp. I don't know how big your head is.
I wasn't saying, yeah, I know about what you're saying. No, about the C-clamp.
Yeah, right, right. I know.
I need the C-clamp. Yeah.
I meant to be funny. But, you're so far ahead of the curve. What enables me to be 3 months behind is, I guess, perspective. I don't know. I sometimes I've dreamed about writing in based on what I've heard. Our friend Joey and Giraffarian Jr.
Yeah. And Joey to the Kangaroo.
My writing skills are terrible. So I won't do that. and your English, pardon the phrase, Nazi. I can't do that. No, not that's not funny anymore. Nazis are back.
Yeah,
in a big way. Scary times.
Vlad Putin and his invading hordes are slaughtering innocent civilians based on a pretext of the Jewish guy who's president of Ukraine is a Nazi. I mean, wow.
Fuck Putin. What about Vlad Abbott?
Yeah. See, you're doing it. Yay! It can happen.
Yeah, it's here. Shit. It was one of my dad told me about. Shit, there's Nazi there. He knew. He was a liberal from way back. So I got a strong history of. I love my dad so much. I know your dad's name was Ken, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But you had some issues. I got an earring and he almost. Whatever. I don't like any of that. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
No, I get scatterbrained. Kind of like Todd. That sounds bad. Sorry, Todd. I love Todd. I do. Oh, just like I love everybody here.
Todd's way cool.
He's amazing intellect. And we also have the in common the psychology aspect. I have a degree in psychology. I didn't go to law school or any grad school or anything, but I did that. You can't take it away from me.
Right.
Well, I learned some stuff. Learned how to learn. Isn't that the point of college? You never really stop learning.
Right. I mean, I love learning. And when I was in college, I felt like a kid in a candy store. In fact, there was a long ago science fiction novel by an author named Roger Zelazny called Doorways in the Sand. And the protagonist was someone who tried to be a perpetual student. Switching from one major to another, so they'd have to keep taking classes, and could therefore stay an undergraduate forever. And I kind of understood that impulse because it was great to just say, the early Neolithic novel. I want to read both of those. And it was just a lot of fun. And I never saw college as trade school. That's not to say that trade school is a bad thing. It is not. But there's what you learn to do for a living, and then there's what you learn to do to be a human being who's on this planet and knows shit.
Yeah, the problem is trade school is not a liberal arts education. I mean, they don't teach anything else other than the particular skill that you're trying to learn. Say, like, I'm a toolmaker, so, like, machining. I did go to a trade school after I got my degree because I couldn't find a job and had to work. And I got married fresh out of college. So, I mean, I had to make that work. And that was big at the time. It isn't so much anymore. I know our friend in Pennsylvania is from Pennsylvania. What's his name? Shit. Our friend in Pennsylvania, he runs a machine, I think. Mike? No. Anyway, I'm rambling on, and I got lost.
You're fine.
Sorry.
You're fine.
No, who's our friend from middle of Pennsylvania?
I had a note from John in Central PA.
There you go.
Just a few minutes ago, saying Vladimir. Talking about Zelensky, more like Voldemort. Signed, some sparkle farter or maggot somewhere, probably. Yeah, I know.
Right. Sparkle fart. Oh, don't even get me started. People on the so-called left, I know. What left?
Right. Yeah,
it took me a long time to get what you meant by that, and like now I understand it. We're so disorganized, and the other team is whooping our ass.
Well, the thing that drives me crazy is that there's this fundamental disconnect with the idea that you have to have power before you can exercise it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. You got to win office,
and you
right?
have to,
like
you,
the Greens. Yeah, well. Can't go for president every 4 years. What the fuck? Does it work?
No, you have to. Oh, what's the old saying? You may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That seems quite true.
Mm. It does. That reminded me of like catchphrases. My dad had a few. Like, out of sight, out of mind. He was in the Navy, so he tried to get on a sub, actually. He wasn't mentally fit, I guess. Or how they deem mentally fit. You know, that's a pretty, fucked up. You're claustrophobic and you hate the small guy part. Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Without a doubt.
But yeah, out of sight, out of mind. Shoot. You know, I forgot he had a couple of catchphrases. Did your dad?
Oh, yeah. When he would get disgusted, he would declare, "Bullshit," he said to Robin, and he turned and walked away. I don't know where that came from. But I heard it all my life.
Well, yeah, there's several. I can't really think of them right now, but there are quite a few of those. It was just extra special. I mean, like when you're a little kid, you don't understand what it means. But now that we're older, by the way, you're only like 3 years older than I am. So it's kind of special to have the same cohort, you are a Gen Xer. Sorry, you're not a.
Well,
you're not a boomer.
I'm either absolute tail end of the boom, or I'm absolute front door of X. And
The math doesn't have to actually work out.
Yeah,
so
I feel a lot more X than boom.
Right.
Just because the things that Generation X experienced were the things that I experienced. I guess I don't know, maybe I'm antique X.
even if the generational thing is a bunch of, you know, bullshit, I don't think it is. I think history changes, you know, generations. It doesn't. It just happens to be a good landmark, about 18 years for, you know, it was whatever. I don't know. We even think about the generational studies. Some people think it's a lot of horseshit.
It's the fundamental human need to compartmentalize and engage in some degree of taxonomy. It all boils down to something I think Tom Robbins wrote once, the author, and he said there are two types of people in this world, people who think there are two types of people and everybody else.
That's pretty, wow.
And then there was another one years and years ago. 50% of human beings on planet Earth masturbate and the other 50% lie about it.
For sure. I don't lie about it. I masturbate. Wow. So maybe I should make room for someone else today.
Well, I'm kind of fresh out of ideas
at the moment.
That's okay, Ken. You take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, we will, for sure. Right. And everybody, please, donate to Robin. Hopefully I can make a challenge sometime soon. So I'll call again.
I think that would be great. I hope you do. Right. You take care of yourself, Ken.
I love you and love you guys.
We love you. Take care. Bye now. And that's Ken 2, a member of the fraternity of Kens. So both lines are open if you want to get involved in the conversation. Some folks got name checked in that conversation, so maybe you want to, whatever. The stress line is open and the Skype line is open as well. Well, I've done it again. I started talking about that Senate Navy bean soup, and lo and behold, Scott in San Diego said, "My delivery person is going to hate me. I just ordered a dozen 15-ounce can of Dominique's Senate Navy bean soup, $4 and change a can, which isn't bad." And I got to thinking about it. I think the crock pot we have holds about a gallon, and it was like $1.69 for a pound of navy beans, and like $3 for two split ham hocks, and then maybe 75 cents for an onion, and like $2.50 for a head of celery, bunch of celery. What is it? A bunch of celery, like bananas. So a gallon, a gallon of that soup came to about $5-6. By the way, thank you very kindly. I just heard from our anonymous friend who said, "I'm putting forth a when oil companies choose, you lose 2-for-1 challenge." And so between now and 9 a.m., if we can raise just $150, 15 people at $10, 10 people at $15, if we can raise $150, then our anonymous friend will triple it, adding 150 more, and taken all together,
that comes to $450, which means we will be down to only $350 in fundraising, which means just $50 of yesterday and today. And oh my God, I can't tell you how helpful that would be, how necessary that would be. Oh, and by the way, just a little piece of breaking news. Just in from the New York Times. Here we are. Hawaii, speaking of the fraternity of Kens, Hawaii just became the 50th and final state to drop the indoor mask mandate. Well, hallelujah and hoorah. I'm still wearing mine. And that's a sacrifice, too, because masks are... I'm a vain and girly girl. And I love pretty lipsticks. And traditional lipstick just gets destroyed, and you wind up looking like a five-year-old who just got caught playing in her mommy's makeup kit when you use regular tube lipstick. Masks ruin it! But, no, I'm going to keep wearing my mask when I go to Walmart, or when I'm in grocery stores or anywhere that there's going to be a lot of Mountaineers who probably never got their vaccine. Now I'm going to keep wearing my mask. And, you know, if somebody comes up to me and says, well, didn't you get the vaccine? I'm going to say, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I did. And I'm going to steal from Sister Carol Baker, the Queen of the Minions, and say, I also got my tetanus vaccine, but I don't run around deliberately stomping barefoot on rusty nails. Get away from me. So, yay, we're not going to wear masks anymore. You know, until the next variant. I keep saying it. I would very much like to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I have a grim sense that I'm probably not. And by the way, for anybody, you know, keeping track at home, well, Now, let me see if I can find it here. I don't see it right here. But we are nearing the 1 millionth American death from COVID, and people are still dying. People are still on vents, and I simply think that the wise choice is to. Well, I mean, look what else doesn't happen to you when you mask in public spaces. You probably don't get the flu. Now, I got my flu shot in September. So that means I'm covered for October. Oh, my flu shot coverage ends this month. Great. So yeah, I think I'll stay masked. Those of you in points elsewhere are updating. Roger in Oregon says 11:59 p.m. March 11th in Oregon for no masks. Meanwhile, out in the Bay Area, Matt in San Francisco says, about 90% of the people at the gym have stopped wearing their masks, which you have to provide proof of vaccination in order to be a member. Still wearing mine, though. I figure it didn't hurt anyone. It's a bitch on the treadmill, but I'm just not ready yet to drop all precaution. You're not alone, Robin. Thank you, Matt. I can imagine that the huffing and puffing on the treadmill, especially if you're serious about it. I can imagine it. It would be a booger. Oh, and Scott tells me it's either a rib or a stalk of celery. Well, yeah, I mean, that's
I mean, I chopped up, minced, three stalks of celery for this latest pot of soup. But those are stalks or ribs. But all the ribs together, I think it's a bunch. The things we get into on this program, for pity's sakes. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Colin, very much for getting us started on the two-for-one. When oil companies choose, you lose challenge. So that means there's $115 remaining on that challenge. Again, thank you, Colin, for getting us started on it so very, very much indeed. And thank you to Nidia. I just heard from Nidia, who is going to get us down below $100. We're down to $90 to go on the When Oil Companies Choose, You Lose challenge. Thank you, Nidia. Billable Rick says, it's a bundle of celery. Bouncing bundle of celery, sure. And Ron and Raleigh with a suggestion. Don't soak the beans. Wash and pick and put them in the crock pot. Three cloves of garlic, three carrots, diced onion, rough chopped fresh thyme, and, of course, one hock and a slice of ham steak. Not soaking the beans makes for a firmer bean. I find soaked beans too mushy. P.S. No celery. Well, I guess the spinach is out too, isn't it, Ron? I like the taste of celery, and I love bay leaves. You know, there are some people who say, oh, no, well, what's a bay leaf even do? Have you ever opened the jar of dried bay leaves and just, it's beautiful. It adds a lovely aroma. That sounds more like the way that I do split pea soup, Ron. Only instead of the thyme, I use tarragon. But oddly enough, Annette and I were talking about it earlier. I love all beans, except frijoles negros, because it seems like you can never cook the crunch out of a black bean. I don't know why. But they really do. They hold up. They're really sturdy, and they seem to give me a little more digestive grief. But I like a bean soup to be kind of thick and and split pea soup. When I take the little hand blender and and make it nice and smooth and creamy. Now I'm making myself hungry. I'm gonna have bean soup after the program's over. Let's see. Okay. Are you there, Scott? Oh, Scott.
Yeah. There you are. I just got crumbs all over myself. Jesus.
Well, so when is your dozen cans of navy beans? Buy a crock pot, Scott.
Well, I go through these stages, Robin, where I get a hankering for something.
I know from hankering.
And I don't want a lot of it, but I want just enough to make the hankering go away or subside until next time. And I don't have the patience to cook bean soup the way it needs to be cooked. I used to do at least twice every winter. I would do that 15 bean soup or 18 bean soup, whatever it is. Oh, my God. In the dead of winter with nice hot bread or biscuits.
Cornbread.
Or something. Oh, cornbread. Oh, I'm telling you.
Well, it probably makes more sense for you to just open one can at a time than to make a whole pot. Cooking for one is actually harder than cooking for a small for a family.
And it's depressing, and also leftovers.
Yeah, I know.
If I that 15 bean soup, I would fix a big pot of that, and I'd have it, and then I'd have it again, and then I'd have it again. It's I don't know how they stand it in the old Senate cloakroom after a hearty Senate baked bean or Navy bean lunch. They got to air that place out big time.
Mr. President, I would like unanimous consent to open the goddamn windows.
Yeah,
and suddenly you're in the road company of Blazing Saddles.
Exactly. And you get those old fucking senators. Like, I bet you Strom Thurmond could let fly one that would, kill a brigade.
In the modern era, Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Hey, Ted Cruz, come pull my finger.
Oh, Jesus. I don't even want to think about it.
Oh, God, where is this program gone?
Well, there was a method to my madness, though, with the 12 cans of Dominique's U.S. Senate Navy Bean Soup. I'm going to try an experiment. It'll be scientific day here at Shea Guru. I'll do me a couple of cans of that soup.
Oh, no.
I'll go maskless. Because, nobody's going to get close enough to catch anything except maybe a whiff.
There's just something.
Will you wind me up?
There's just something funny about a fart joke. I don't care who you are. Fart jokes are.
Little children are so innocent when it comes. They fart without thinking. They fart without guilt.
Well, I read some statistic, and anytime you get a statistic like this, some scientist has actually sat around doing it. So some PhD candidate sat around counting farts of a lot of people and came up with apparently 13 per day per human.
Oh, mercy. I gotta pour me some coffee because I just...
It's too much to contemplate.
And I know with all going on in the world, there are much better things to contemplate than, gas. But it's fun. It's fun.
I just have this nightmare vision of you sitting around your home in San Diego with a Bic lighter.
No. With that expression, once
cheaper than a Brazilian.
Once burned, twice shy. That saying came from somewhere, and I think that's where it came from.
It was probably the dude counting the farts.
Yeah. We here at the Fart Institute, I want to get sign up for some of that government money. Because, a lot of these studies are funded with our tax dollars.
Well, the zebrafish on acid, I'm sure.
That, too. I want to do the one where we feed the zebrafish navy beans and see them propel themselves more quickly through the water.
Damn, the zebrafish are jet propelled. Oh, by the way, the hating on the hating on split pea soup has begun. Jimmy in the Great Northwest said, "Robin, you mean split pea glue? Oh, come on."
Oh well,
just in Ron's honor, I think my next foray will be cream of spinach and asparagus soup.
Oh mercy! Stand back, folks. I can't even take a sip of coffee without cracking up. Wait a minute.
Steve in New York says, the international language of laughter, farting. Just the term fart is just guffaw-inducing. Yeah. You got to remember, he was a broadcast professional at the height of his game. So that meant that he did higher quality professional broadcasting than just about anybody else out there. Of course, he's moved on to a new career in the great beyond involving reverse pineapples. But big old dead flush Flimball used to have just a high old time behind the golden EIB microphone talking about, "Oh, my friends, I was driving down the highway today and I saw a woman farting in her car."
Well, how does he know?
Well, then he would say, "No, you see, you rubes don't understand that the French for applying makeup is farting." I don't know, maybe it's F-A-R-D-E or something. Because, that was high-quality professional broadcasting.
Well, I don't know. Jesus.
But then again, where he is now, Kind of hard to do that with all those pineapples involved. And Frank in Iowa was wanting a Rush Limbaugh update the other, I think just yesterday, and I didn't get to it, so I try to be a full-service broadcast. And so, Frank, that was for you, buddy.
Well, isn't it quieter in some regard now that he has shuffled off this mortal coil? I know there are...
Well, life got a lot duller over at Media Matters for America. I'm pretty sure of that.
Sure, yeah. I just years from now they're going to do a study of this, the last third of the 20th century, and I want to see how they explain.
No, there will be a picture with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and it'll go, him, that fucker, he ruined it.
And you talk about people who are unquestioning in their as they go through life. He gave us a whole generation of people who just
zombies.
Damn.
I mean, and he made them like it. You know, he made them ditto monkeys and made them proud to be one.
Well, shoot, I didn't know that. Wow.
Mega dittos from Busted Knuckle, Rush. You're just wonderful. Well, that's enough about you. Let's talk about me and William Jefferson Blythe Clinton, who decorates his Christmas tree with used condoms.
Oh, Jeff Christie. That was his radio name in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing the hits. God help us. You know what I was... Oh, by the way, earlier today in the wee hours, I sent you almost 2 hours of video.
I saw.
With a woman. You must listen to that, Robin. You must listen to that. She was being interviewed by the guy who produces a lot of the frontline documentaries about politics and stuff. I can't think of his name. Michael Kirk, could that be? And this is from 2017. But she talks about Putin. She's originally a Russian lady who came to this country. I don't even know what she does, other than she's an author. But she knows because she has seen up close Vladimir Putin. And this bit of video, 2 hours almost, was done in 2017 as part of the a particular frontline program about Putin. And the thing that got me, it's long enough ago where it's not current events, but it's recent events. Plus, she gives a great history of the guy's background and life story, what we know of it. See, I don't know that anything that we know about Putin's early formative years up until he got to Germany with the KGB, that could all be a cover story. He could have been a plumber in Vladivostok, for all we know, who got recruited because he did well on the test.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not insane.
No, it's not insane because that era... I mean, I know that we put out stories culturally and politically, you know, to put the best face on something and sometimes to mislead and ill-inform or misinform the general populace. And hopefully we do it when we do it for a good, noble purpose. But those pesky commie rat bastard reds, you know that they're up to no good no matter what they do or say. I mean, if you believe... in propaganda. But who knows who this guy is and where he came from? But she goes into how he got so rich and how he got the oligarchs to be oligarchs and be beholden to him. It's really tremendously good stuff. And I commend it to you. I recommend it to you heartily, or in this case, fartily, if to stay on that topic. But I got to stop listening to this show, Robin, because you get my mind going, you wind me up, and I order...
I'm a bad person.
$50 worth of bean soup. Like, do I really need... Well, I'll...
Yeah, because you know, they're at the warehouse. Hey, Frank, get a load of this!
Some guy in San Diego just bought a case of bean soup. I don't think I've had it. A couple of times that I've been to the Capitol, to the cafeteria, I don't think they... Would they serve it in the House cafeteria, or is there just one big cafeteria? I forget.
No. The Senate cafeteria is in Dirksen, and the House cafeteria is in Longworth. And they're both in the basements.
I remember on a field trip going, I guess it was to the House cafeteria. But would they serve it there, too? They would have to. The House members, they want everything that the senators have got. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I've actually had it. So this will be a treat.
Well, it's but, you know, when it's a little bit cool outside, you know, bean soup is tough when it's warm. But
yeah, it is. It's a fall and winter sport.
Yeah, it really, really is. I love that. You know, it's just so rich and so hearty and so satisfying. Ron and Raleigh says, my crock pot is full of my beef stew. 2 pounds of stew beef was $12 fucking dollars. Chopped onion, pound of quartered red taters, beef, bay leaves, teaspoon of paprika, teaspoon of rosemary, teaspoon of thyme, tablespoon of Worcestershire, 3 cloves of garlic, 4 carrots sliced diagonally, 2 tablespoons tomato paste, 3 cups of beef broth, 8 hours on low, splash of red wine. That's going to be fabulous.
Oh, wow, yeah.
To this day, the oxtail soup that I made in Birmingham, I think remains the one thing that I've ever made over almost 3 decades that Annette just went over the moon about. I mean, just loved it.
Well, you know, speaking of seasonal type foods, March 17th is coming up. I wonder, is it too early to fill out my paperwork to buy corned beef for St. Patrick's Day?
Fill out your paperwork.
I'd be afraid.
You call your buddy down at the bank, right?
Yeah, because I don't. It's been a while since I've done corned beef and cabbage and potatoes and carrots and stuff for St. Patrick's Day. But I don't go to the grocery store that much, so I would be afraid to have they got armed guards, rent-a-cops surrounding the corned beef counter at the Vons. I mean, who knows?
Price, you know, it's priced daily on the market, just like gold and oil.
Jesus, you know, you got to get a cosigner and paperwork from the bank and be accompanied by an armed guard to your car. Just for fucking corned beef. I mean, geez. Maybe I'll just wear, fix me a big pan of corned beef hash and wear one of those green paper hats and put a shamrock behind each ear and call it a day. I don't know. I just don't know. I was going to tell you this the other day. When I was out and about, you know, it's been a little over 2 years since I've had a haircut. And I just ran out of steam yesterday running my errands. I was going to go do it yesterday. But I just don't know. I may just get some clippers and do it myself. And I take it down to Sinead O'Connor length. Because it'll grow out. You know.
Yeah, sure.
I need to be like Tressie, that doll that little girls and some little boys played with in the 60s with a key in her back. And you could make her hair long, or you turn it the other way, and the hair would go back into the skull, the little plastic skull. We were twisted kids with fun toys back then, Robin.
Oh, yes.
What was your favorite toy as a child?
Major Matt Mason.
Is that like a G.I. Joe type?
Yeah, but they had wires instead of articulated limbs, and they had I had a Major Matt Mason space station. And,
oh, wow.
Because I was all about space and matchbox cars and Legos, and I always made sure to turn away when the ad for Mystery Date came on. Or Easy Bake
Open
Oven.
Open the door.
Yeah, or Easy Bake Oven.
Oh yeah, you know those.
Because I didn't dare be caught showing interest in that.
Have you ever had a cake that was made in the Easy Bake Oven?
Yes,
cakes?
Yes.
They actually bake in those.
That little light bulb works wonders.
Oh Jesus! I you know who had one of those? One of the kids down the street had it. And we all got together for an easy bake oven party, baking up goods and stuff. Jesus. My, my, my. I'm trying to think what my favorite toy was. You know, when I was very, very young, maybe 6 or 7, I don't even know if the company's around. I think it was an Ohio company. Kenner?
Yes.
They made the girders. What was that called? Girders and panels building construction kit. You can probably look it up online. But here we go. Aunt Emma took me over to Washington to the Hecht Company, the big department store in D.C. around Christmas time to see Santa Claus and then go up to the toy department. And they had a floor model of the Kenner girders and panels building set. And I was playing with that. And lo and behold, Christmas morning, big old package from her was the Kenner thing. And I used to while away so many hours building stuff. Look that up. I think that they must have still had it because you're a few years younger than me, but I'm sure they still had it. Because Kenner was still a going concern.
Yeah, not a Rector set.
No, this was all plastic.
Yeah.
But if you see it, you'll say, damn, I'll bet you that was a fun toy. And my older brother got a Gilbert chemistry set. Because the older children, you know, like the teenagers, the young adolescents, were more responsible, you know. And God knows what was in that thing. I'm sure there was stuff in the Gilbert chemistry set, which today
oh, Lord.
Let children.
You've started something again. Randy Radar says, I had working flying model rockets. Yes, and I remember the company, Estes.
No,
those things are dangerous. You can't have one of those, Robin. So, because I wanted that five engine Saturn V rocket really badly.
Oh man!
But of course, there was always a logical reason why not. Because you'll never find it. You'll get to use it once. You'll never find it. It'll probably wind up in the ditch.
Now, is that a bug or a flaw? On the part of the people who make them.
Well, they had to watch me carefully because, you know, I started being consciously aware of things long about the time that, was it ABC that put Batman on?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
twice a week.
Between Batman and Mary Poppins, I mean, I don't know how many times my mom caught me heading out the front door with an umbrella, heading for the roof.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. No, don't do that.
And then there was the one day at the toy store, I saw the Batman utility belt. Mama, I want that. And then proceeded to screw it up by telling her exactly what I was going to do if I got it. Because I was going to scale the walls.
You know, now.
And so, no. And you know what? It's one of the. So I had to wait. We'd probably been married about 15 years when one Christmas. Annette got both Ferg and me our very own Batman utility belts. By then, I'd lost the urge to scale the walls.
You know what else I had? I just, the utility belt triggered it for me, woke up that area of the brain. Remember the Man from U.N.C.L.E. spy show?
That was my first lunchbox.
I had the Man from U.N.C.L.E. attaché case. With the different things inside of it. If you're going to be a good spy, you need a pistol, and you need a radio disguised as a pack of cigarettes, and you need a dagger that you can pull out of the secret compartment in the briefcase in case somebody from Thrush tries to grab it out of your hand. I forget what all else was in that thing, but damn, United Network Command for Law Enforcement. I was an U.N.C.L.E. I used to wear a turtleneck, just like Ilya Kuryakin.
Of course.
look inconspicuous, because you never know when a Thrush agent, you know, here you got your 10-year-old kid carrying a plastic briefcase, wearing a turtleneck, trying to blend in. Well, how well is that going to work? I mean, nobody's going to get fooled. My little, it's like Harriet the Spy or something. God, stop me, Robin, before our free associate.
Oh, no, it's okay. Bilbo Rick says, why don't you ask Scott if he wants to donate his two-year-long hair as part of a horn fundraiser? Maybe Scotty can even throw in a few of beloved Punky's feathers. Or are there easier ways of raising money? Speaking of easier ways of raising money, I had a note.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
No. Just for you, a big bag of hair.
I'm sure there's some.
That's better than selling meat through the mail.
Some poor woman on chemo would be happy.
Do it yourself. Quit that. You're awful.
And a glue stick. A bag of hair and a glue stick. Yeah. Stop it. Oh, God.
Your own personal Sasquatch suit. No, it's a Scott Squatch suit.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, stop.
I'm proud of that. Scott Squatch. I'm writing that one down.
I'll walk hunched over up and down the streets, scaring women and little old women and little children.
By the way, Ron and Raleigh says, hey, it's still available, the Kenner girder and panel building set, and then adds, you'll shoot your eye out with that rocket, kid.
You bet your ass. Pardon me, wait a minute, hold on.
And Ron and Raleigh has been to the grocery store lately. A 3-pound Grobel's corned beef at Wally World, $15.28. Get your meat loan before interest rates go up.
I got your meat right here. It opened up my trench coat, and you got weenies and chops on one side and open up the other. Oh, God.
Hey, kid, the first one's free. Oh, God.
Reaching out of my pocket, we got, that's where we keep the chicken livers.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Okay. We're truly doing damage now. Steve in New York said, I'm in a pub and subject line, big bag of hair. I'm in a pub and actually guffawed out loud. People stared. Oh, God. I remember when Matt in San Francisco would have his window down driving along, getting looks from the people on the sidewalk as he screamed into the ether.
Ron Popeil here. Ronco presents Bag O'Hare. Just set it.
It has a million different uses. Because there's a million different hairs.
Throw a handful of those bedazzler things in it and mix them in with the hair, and you've got yourself an act.
My God. Well, no, I did want to mention, I had a note, because you have spoken so highly of it. I had a note from Steve in New York, who said, for a $150 contribution, I will send some lucky person 5 pounds of Zabar's coffee. Scott can testify to the titanic goodness, but really titanic goodness of the coffee.
Goodness.
And so if you write to me, anybody wants to do $150, and then I will send your address. You have to send it to me. I'll send your address to Steve, and Steve will send you 5 pounds of Zabar's coffee.
I'm telling you, kids, you are get in on this because you're in for a treat. That is some damn good coffee.
I wish I wasn't decaffeinated.
Well, you.
But I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy. I mean, I'm very happy now that I found that Cafe Bustelo decaf. And just froth up
froth up some heavy cream and half together, and it makes.
It's in the yellow can.
Yeah, but the lid is green.
Yeah.
The decaf.
Well, that's the international color for decaf coffee. Like the pitchers, you know, not decanters, but at the coffee machine, at the restaurant or at the office or whatever, the green handled carafe is for the decaf.
Sometimes it's orange.
Ooh, that's a gimmick infringement. Orange is the color of Sanka. You're welcome, but go ahead. Is there a place where you can donate? I know you can donate your body to science, but is there any way to donate a brain and they can figure out why mine is wired like this?
Take a number because they're still working on figuring mine out.
Yeah, well, I was going to say yours too, for that matter, because why? And not just you and myself. I was watching an interview, a series of interviews with George Carlin over the years. And he had the same kind of brain where you connect stuff and group stuff that's like other stuff. And if you phrase it correctly, it's funny as hell. You know?
Yeah, oh yeah. And the stoner questions that he asked. Things like the pity that he always felt toward anybody named George. Because it's the name that never ends. G-E-O-R-G-E-O-R-G-E-O-R-G-E-O-R-G-E. He said, eventually you look in the mirror and just say, you'll be my name, and I'll be me. You'll be the thing people say, and I'll be the one who answers. That's as close as we're going to get.
Yeah, God.
Get in the plane versus get on the plane. Fuck you, I'm getting in the plane. Let the crazy people ride on the plane.
And, you know, and you get to your destination on the plane, and the person in the little uniform and the cute hat gets up and says over the PA system, we'd like to welcome you to Des Moines. Well, you just got here milliseconds before we did, because you're at the front of the plane. But and all of this shit all of us have thought of from one time to another, but never made a career out of it. That's the thing that gets me about people like Carlin. God, I miss him. Wouldn't he have had a ball with Trump?
Oh, Lord, yes. I've got a list. I mean, the Carlin and Trump, or Molly Ivins and Trump, Dr. Hunter S. Thompson and Trump, or Joe Bagent and Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. But Carlin had such a... He started out doing radio, and then he teamed up with Jack Burns of Burns and Shriver. Remember?
Yeah.
The guy in the cab and the guy in the back of the cab. That's right, my friend. You know? And then did albums, and then was sort of fallow for a while, I guess waiting for HBO to be created. And then found a whole new audience, and plus his old favorite audience, by virtue of cable, which was, he was perfectly suited for that because it's not censored. He said in all the years he did specials for HBO, he never had notes from the suits. It was like, here's your money, do one every two and a half years, and, you know, build the subscriber base. And he did.
Without a doubt. What was that? By the way, this being Titanic. Look, Joe Biden made a speech today and talked about he's banning imports of Russian oil. I feel bad. I never felt bad for Nitwit Nero. I know you never really particularly felt bad for Richard Nixon.
That's right. No, I didn't. There's a lot of them not to feel bad for.
But I feel bad for Joe Biden because he's fucked. Everybody, we got to stop the Russian oil. Okay, we'll stop the Russian oil, and you know we're gonna
as mentioned, you know, we're going to have some $10 a gallon gas soon. Probably. And
no, but go ahead.
But the country that couldn't engage in a little bit of self-sacrifice to keep a million people from dying from COVID, you really think they're gonna hunker down and say, well, you know, I'll pay $10 a gallon for gasoline if it helps the people of Ukraine, please. I mean, do you see this? Do you see this? How does this help? How does this do anything but come to grief for President Biden?
Well,
because no sooner, the Republicans, oh my God, we've got to stop importing Russian oil, and they will, you know, if they haven't already, then by tomorrow at the latest, they'll be screaming that Joe Biden is personally responsible for people having to pay more for gasoline in this goddamn Biden inflation wave.
Well,
it just pisses me off.
Well, I know. It does. Let me reach out your hand. I want to pat your wrist for a minute.
Thank you.
And make you feel better. There, Robin. It will never be okay. But let me explain to you why there is a silver lining. It all depends on how it's framed. If the focus of your presentation is, you know, $10 a gallon gas, you're not going to convince anybody. Or they're not going to see. You've got to show them why. First of all, the Russian oil embargo has nothing to do with what you pay at the pump. Okay, can we agree on that? Because we only import something like 4% of our oil imports. That's the amount. I think 4% is the fraction that represents the Russian oil, which is probably nasty. It's not light sweet crude. You know, it couldn't possibly be. You know, it's some malodorous sulfuric glop.
Yeah.
You know.
Bitumen.
Yeah, that too. Isn't that coal oil? I don't know. Where do they get that stuff?
Well, no, I mean, the stuff that's coming out of the hell moonscape of Alberta is tar sands.
Yeah. But the way it needs to be presented is, look, do you want... whatever you're paying for gas, whether it's 38 cents a gallon or $10.38 a gallon. If you've been, you know, some people alive today remember 38 cent a gallon gas when it was an actual thing.
When right? I was a child, the earliest gas price I remember seeing, and it's funny how memory works, was $29.9.
Yeah, probably about... Oh,
1966.
I was going to say mid-60s. Yeah,
because that would have been in the turquoise colored Chrysler Newport Town sedan.
Ooh.
Just to interrupt for a second, we have $90 to go on the when oil companies choose you lose 2-for-1 challenge. That's huge. And there's only $90 to go on it, and that'll get us down to only $350 to go. And if somebody answers Steve in New York's Zabar's challenge, that'll get us down to $200 to come even. And I need to make a program note here. Most of y'all know because I've mentioned it from time to time. And it's really hard to hear on air here because it's just hard to do for 3 solid hours. Getting better, but I have speech therapy tomorrow. And I've done a lot of it virtually, but they want to work with me in person.
Yeah, because they got to put their hand and help you form your...
I hope no hands are going anywhere. But, it, you know, working in
Did
person.
You say speech therapy?
Yeah, speech therapy.
Oh, okay. Okay. You might have said feet, and I misheard it.
No, I'm not going to the podiatrist. There's a chance I will not be here tomorrow evening because, let's see, it's about two hours from here to Huntington, and it's on the campus of Marshall University. They have a fantastic speech and hearing center. And so
appointment's at 1:15. I'll be done at 2:15, in the car at 2:30. So that'll be pushing it for me to get here in time for air. So I'll either be late to air or not on air tomorrow, depending on, frankly, how the weather goes. And so, you know, that program note, but that's another reason for us to meet this challenge. And, you know, it's only 9 people at $10 or 10 people at $9. And thanks to everybody who keeps kicking in and keeps sharing. By the way, gas in Canada, $7.86 per gallon. So we're a far cry, well, good ways from that yet, I hope. Thank you to Will, formerly of Chicago, now of California. We are now down to $65 to go on the when oil companies choose you lose 2-for-1 challenge. Thank you, Will. Well, thank you so much.
Are there any Canadian truckers who are convoying and rallying against high gas prices? I don't think so.
No. By the way, the ones trying to convoy, looks like we got us a convoy. Dark of the moon on the 5th of June in Kentworth hauling logs.
10-4, good buddy.
Yeah, rubber duck. No, it. They have a list of demands, the maggot truckers do. And now, since they don't have any masks to piss and moan about, they've decided that they want a full-scale investigation into how the Chinese created the COVID in a lab. And they will not be happy until somebody says that out loud.
Well, wait a minute. I got a question about this convoy. Good, buddy. According to the press releases, they were going to get all their guys and all their trucks and come all the way to Washington and ring the White House,
mm-hmm.
bumper to bumper. I've not seen any visual evidence of any trucks.
Well, see, if you wander around modern D.C. for very long, because I've seen these things and they work real fast. There are solid steel barriers that are spring loaded that at the push of a button go wham and they make a tremendous noise and ain't nobody ringing nothing. I saw a lost a trucker who was lost on Capitol Hill one day, with a truck that was big enough to. If it was carrying a bunch of ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, you know, the Timothy McVeigh cocktail, would have made a big problem. And he was just toddling along, and the cops were like, "Hey, stop! No, really, stop! Seriously, stop!" And then the M16s come up, and wham, those barriers come up, and suddenly they had his attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the next words out of one of the cops' mouth were, "What the fuck do you think you're doing?" Because they get real itchy about that kind of thing.
And they should.
Yeah.
But are they still stuck on the Beltway looking for an off-ramp? Because they're not. Well, first of all, they're not going to ring the White House, because for 20 years now or more, there are these they're embedded into the sidewalk.
Yes.
At either end of that block.
Yeah, halfway through the crust of the earth, they're buried.
Yeah, and there's no vehicular traffic at all. I don't even think you can walk a bicycle down that sidewalk in front of the North Portico or the north face of the White House. The South has the portico. That's the porch.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, let's see. In New York's a speech therapy for a person who worked on radio. Sounds like a scam. No, it's very much not. It's I guess we could call it speech feminization therapy, so that I can stop getting clocked every time I open my mouth. I know this, but it's been hard for
you to go through life sounding like Bella Abzug or Toadie Fields or Selma Diamond. I mean,
The problem is I can do all those voices, but they aren't me, Scott.
I know.
And that's the real challenge with this. And for anybody who's ever done funny voices on the radio, I mean,
I got, I mean, come on, you know. There's a million voices living in my head. But none of them are me. And so what we're doing is we're working, and I've got this voice pitch analyzer, and I'm doing it right now. And there are exercises. I make this really funny face with my nose all scrunched up, and I say things, and I just make a noise, and this is going to be unpleasant for everybody listening. I say, over and over and over again until I pitch my voice up, and then I make make sounds with things like M's and N's to project my voice to the front of my face, and eventually we get my voice up here, which is actually too high because this is Minnie fucking Mouse. Yeah. No, Your Honor, I didn't say she's insane. I said she's fucking goofy. Yeah, that's from the divorce transcript of Minnie and Mickey. I said she's fucking goofy. Sorry, terrible joke.
Snow White.
Oh, by the way, did you look up the punchline to your joke?
No, I pardon me, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, but I will.
I'm going to do it right now because you're going to tell me the punchline again.
I've got a confession to make, my son. I'm not your father. The bishop is your father.
I'm not your father. The bishop. This better be good for all the dead air.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm playing.
Well, before you're waiting for your results, the way Biden needs to frame the embargo of Russian oil, which is only 4% of our oil imports as it is, minuscule in comparison to everywhere else we get it. The other part of it is, do you people, other than the Putin wing of the GOP, other than them, because they're lost cause, the rest of you folks, do you really want to be enriching the person who invaded a sovereign country for no good reason and is killing women and children? And something like 2 million, I guess, have had to flee their own fucking country. Do you want to be an underwriter for a person of that sort? Most people who are decent people would say no and would be willing to be united in an effort to get that guy either put into Eichmann's trunk or gone. Make him be gone. Send him to the fucking cornfield, as it were. You get what I mean?
I do.
It's the framing. And some people are never going to listen to word one. But the rest of us, if we're presented with a plausible reason that serves a higher purpose and a better world, then, yeah, I'm willing. If I drove, I'd be willing to carpool or drive less, walk more, whatever. You got to make, anybody who's been, you and I both lived through the so-called Arab oil embargo, and you know how much fun that was. And then there was another one. There was another oil crisis of a few years later, the late 70s, early 80s or whatever. This is just the natural order of things. And you've got to roll with it, and you've got to do what's required to make it through. Otherwise, you know, you become a member of the Putin wing of the Republican Party, and we don't need any more of those.
Well, amen to that.
Did you find it?
No, it's unusual.
I can't imagine that, because if I've heard it, certainly it's been around. It's been a few years.
I feel certain that I've heard it. That just sounds like, you know.
And my problem is I remember the goddamn punchline. It's something about a priest who goes in for an appendectomy or some sort of minor surgery and takes a turn for the worse or something, and he makes thinking he's going to die, he makes a confession or something to the youngster who is believed to be his biological son and isn't. And he says, I must tell you before I go, my son, I must confess that I'm not your father. The bishop is your father. But it's the rest of the buildup that I don't know.
Somebody in this wacky, zany, madcap community will find that, I hope, and we'll have the answer. I love this one. I just ran across this one in the course of my search. Four good Catholic ladies are having coffee together, discussing how important their children are. And the first one says, well, my son is a priest. When he walks into a room, everyone calls him father. The second lady says, well, my son is a bishop. Whenever he walks into a room, people say your grace. The third one says, well, not to put you down, but my son is a cardinal. Whenever he walks into a room, people say your eminence. And they all turn to the fourth woman who's sitting there drinking her coffee, minding her own business. And they, well, she says, well, my son is a charismatic, 6'2" tall, hard-bodied male stripper. Whenever he walks into the room, people say, my God! Oh, well. I don't know why this joke won't pop, but, well, I know why it won't pop, because the word father and bishop are in there, so I get... I get that, and then the next thing you know, interspersed with the jokes, I get Greater St. Matthew Church of God in Christ.
Yeah.
And then I get a pitch for Call No Man Your Father, the Living Church. Then there's the Christian Advocate, the best Christian short stories sharpened by faith.
Christian Advocate, what is that, a gay Catholic magazine?
I don't know. And then there's a video from T.D. Jakes, and this just looks like kind of a lost cause. Oh, thank you to Ralphs. Ralphs has gotten us down to $55 to go. On the When Oil Companies Choose You Lose 2-for-1 challenge, there's only $55 to go and 23 minutes to get there in. Uh-oh. God damn it, Scott, are you fucking this up? That's from Steve in New York. I don't know. That was 5 minutes ago.
In New York, I must apologize to you. In recent days, I've gotten, I think, a text message, and I think a couple of emails where you wanted to vent or chat or something, and I just have not been good about getting back to you, and I'm sorry. We're due for a chat. We are certainly due for a chat. That's inside baseball stuff, but we're kind of each other's support group. Every so often, we'll get together and compare notes on the status of things.
I get that.
But what am I screwing up? What did I do now?
I don't know. He'll have to explain. He's sitting there in a pub, and people are looking at him funny, I think. That's probably the...
And I can't be responsible for your reaction to the material.
No.
Given the shape of some of my material, it's a wonder I get a reaction at all sometimes.
Oh, no. I think Big Bag of Hair was a real winner for this evening. That's right up there. That's right up there with Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan's piece of bubblegum from 8 years ago. The colon, otherwise known as the colonoscopy story.
Oh, wait, there's more. I just don't, you get me going. You wind me up. I'm telling you.
Well, and the thing is, I think to a certain extent, what we do here in our wacky little conversation, Scott, is I mentioned Mary Poppins earlier. We're doing the whole, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, because there is so much sewage out there that we all have to kind of deal with. I mean, I got a maggot wife here.
you might. I thought the trial was going to take a little while. No. The jury got done with Guy Reffitt pretty quick, and largely because his son and daughter dropped the dime on him, and his wife Nicole Reffitt was interviewed by CBS after the verdict was rendered of guilty of transporting a firearm in furtherance of civil disorder, guilty of obstruction of justice, guilty of entering the Capitol with a firearm, guilty of obstructing law enforcement officers, guilty, 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 guilty.
Oh, this is the guy with the imprint of a book up into his, denting into his forehead.
Other free percenters dropped the dime on him. And so Nicole Reffitt, unrepentant maggot wife, walks out in front of the cameras and says, he was used as an example today to make all the 1-6ers take a plea. Do not take a plea, 1-6ers. Do not. We got this. This is a classic case of misery loves company. She's telling people who are dead to rights a hell of a lot more, possibly, than her hubby. You go to prison too. Guy Reffitt, he bawled, he cried so hard when his 19-year-old son, whom he threatened to kill, testified to that fact and basically countersunk the nails in his coffin. You know, his son said, he was messaging us saying that it's time for a new civil war and we're going to rise up and we're going to destroy the government.
Words have consequences. Actions have consequences.
But I feel bad for the kid. He said he felt dirty for dropping the dime on his daddy. But, let me see. I think I've got the audio here. Stand by.
Okay. Used an example today to make all the 1-6ers take a plea. Do not take a plea, 1-6ers. Do not.
Nicole,
we got this.
How do you feel?
And gives a peace sign at the end. Oh, my God.
Actually, taking a plea, don't they give a certain amount of leniency if you...
you won't go to... If you enter a plea, you will not go to prison for nearly as long as Guy Reffitt is going to go.
Yeah. So when do we get the penalty phase of the deal, or do we know already?
I'd say it'll probably be within somewhere between 2 to 6 weeks. They have to do a pre-sentencing investigation report, I presume.
Yeah.
But
I don't have any sympathy at all.
No, I think he should probably go. He should probably get consecutive sentencing, not concurrent. And maybe some, I don't know, supermax. The guy was ready to go to war against his own country.
Yeah.
And Steve, by the way, says, what the hell was I thinking? I don't know. I'm evaluating 11. Yes, 11 potential clients. Well, it's nice that you got a choice, Steve. But he says, prediction, this was a test case to see what the courts would say. Garland will let indictments roll after this. This case was the Jenga block pushed out of the stack that caused the whole thing to come down. I hope you're right. I do hope you're right.
Because, see, that's part of what justice does. I mean, justice is designed not to make an example of a person, but to put them under a trial with either a jury of their peers or a judge passing judgment, and evidence presented on both sides, and then the outcome. And it isn't because we hate you. It's really because we as a society love you enough to offer you the opportunity to make amends, if nothing else, for your reprehensible behavior. Now, he's never going to do it. You know that it's baked in. The madness is just baked. You got your deep dish baked in madness going on there with the lovely Mrs. Guy, whoever.
Reffitt.
Okay, I'm sure she's Reffitt. Reffitt. Yeah.
Well, I think she was probably a beneficiary of his free percenter upper-level gravy train.
Well, yeah, that too. But you just, the actions and words and beliefs even, when they go awry of the law and the society at large, there's got to be a line. And if you cross it, you know, if you think enough of your belief system to feel that you're in the right, well, let's put it to a test and find out. And if it doesn't fall down on your side with a favorable verdict for you, then you need to sit a while and think about it. I mean, I can't be too far off the mark with that. And more.
No, and Steve in New York says, God damn it, FYI, I love you, Scott. By the way, I do hate them. To paraphrase Caribou Barbie, fry, baby, fry.
Well, that too. I just,
but this being Titanic Tuesday and all, a few minutes remaining in the program, let's check in on Kansas.
Oh, dear.
Remember that book, What's the Matter with Kansas?
Yeah, I do. Thomas Frank.
Yep. Well, Melissa Campbell of Johnson County, Kansas. We talked about Johnson County, Kansas, I think, on Friday. There was a school shooting there. Well, Melissa Campbell is really upset because she's done made it through the pandemic, and she was afraid the whole time, not that she was going to die of COVID, but that she was going to get her freedom taken away. Wolverines! And so she told, and I don't know why the state senator of Kansas listened to this ignorant woman, but she said that she wants the Kansas legislature to take away the power of the Department of Health in that state to enact quarantines in times of disease. And remember, there's going to be, COVID was bad, there's going to be another one. And I just said COVID was when I believe COVID is. And so, testifying, she said, I go back to old history, not the new history, the old history. I mean, history by definition is old, isn't it, Scott?
It would more or less have to be. Even recent history is older than now.
Right. I go back to old history, and I feel like if we were to not pass out 489, that's the bill that takes away the right of the Kansas Department of Health to respond to pandemics, and we did not listen to the voices of the people, you know, we would be giving the state, the KDHE secretary, specifically the opportunity to put my family in what could appear to be like a concentration camp environment.
Wait a minute. What is this lady's name?
Melissa Campbell.
All right. I'm sure somewhere, she lives in Johnson County, right?
Right.
I'm sure somewhere in the greater Kansas City, Johnson County area, Melissa has friends who care for her. And again, it comes down to framing. I get it, Melissa, that you want your voice preserved. But in order to have a voice that's been preserved, you must be alive. So let us preserve your life so that you can have a future to continue to raise your voice when you feel it's necessary. That's all that's being done here.
Well, how can they not get Senator that? Pat Petty, who's a Democrat from Kansas City, Kansas, was sitting in the, was on the committee that heard this testimony and simply asked her, ma'am, have you ever been in a concentration camp? And she responded, oh my God, have you? And he said, it's your testimony. I'm sorry. You said that. What I said is that I never want to be in a situation where one of your statutes would allow my family to be taken out of their home to a place of quarantine, and when there's nothing that explains what that may be, and as badly as people have been treated who want freedom, it's a concern that how bad it could be. So since you don't like that reference, it would be better not to use that in a public setting like this, Petty said, because it's very offensive. And she's, well, I appreciate your opinion. because she went on to say, it's the job of government to protect the people from, no, it's, it, it, yeah, it's the job of government to protect the people from too much government.
Does she not understand that the concept life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, if you don't have life, that's probably why they put it first in the line of words. If you don't have life, you don't have a chance at liberty or the pursuit of happiness or any fucking thing else. It makes me glad I don't live in that part of the country anymore. It used to be a halfway decent place, but it seems now to be overrun with people that I don't want to be anywhere near. You know?
Well,
Once upon a time, I mean, you know, I might venture back to go down to Arthur Bryant's and get me a bunch of ribs or something, but I'm going to hit and split. You know, I don't want to
And again, these are the people that we expect to quietly pay $8 a gallon for gas.
Well, unless they want to get a tandem bike or hoof it, they're pretty much stuck with however much the oil companies charge for the gas.
Oh, and right, by the way, just because you'll probably get a kick out of this. Remember Enrique Tarrio? He was the leader of the Proud Boys.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, he got served an arrest warrant in South Florida today for his planning and conspiracy of in regard to the January 6th insurrection. And the cops showed up early this morning at his South Florida home. And they cuffed him and took him away in all of his underwear-only glory.
Oh, I love it when they trot him out in their underwear and cuffs.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you in your underwear?
Did he have insignias on his boxers?
Jesus.
Little swastikas?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's the video.
Little Trump faces?
Scott, I hate to break it to you, but...
Wait a minute. He had the BVDs, their special order. You got and limited.
Them ain't boxers.
Supply. Oh dear, a thong.
Looks pretty scanty. Nothing I really wanted to see. But I guess you'd have to deem him a flight risk because, oh my God. Basically, what law enforcement has discovered was that on December 30th and 31st, he was involved in messaging with someone who sent him a plan to occupy crucial buildings in Washington, House and Senate office buildings, that sort of thing, with as many people as possible. The Washington Post said after sending the document, the individual allegedly messaged Tarrio that the revolution is important than anything, and Tarrio said, "That's what every waking moment consists of. I'm not playing games." And that was apparently enough to get him to come after him in his skimpies.
You know, was there a insignia of a smiling Ron DeSantis strategically placed?
Well, if you want some nightmare fodder, I got one more before we go.
All right.
The Republicans are already measuring the drapes for the House, and they're already planning to win back the House because so many maggot states have made it so very effing difficult for anyone who is not a maggot to vote. Scott Perry up in Pennsylvania is the new leader of the Freedom Caucus, and he says that they're really going to twist the screws on Kevers McCarthy. Perry said,
We're going to be pushing for a fair process. We're going to be pushing for more participation. Freedom Caucus members don't seem to have much of a place in a lot of the larger decision-making. There's no Freedom Caucus member on the Select Committee on Intelligence.
I probably would not.
I wonder why.
I wouldn't have used that one, but that, you know, that's me. You do you, Scott. Yeah. Not you, Scott. Scott Perry.
Yeah.
Seems to me that there should be a Freedom Caucus member on that. And so they're gonna give House Judiciary to Jim Jacket off Jordan. And they've got plans to make sure to elevate marginal trailer queen, and Clanny Oakley, and Madcap Maddie Cawthorn, and Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of Arizona, to positions of high authority in the House.
Don't place your order with the government printing office to get that new stationery yet a while. Because the business cards either. Aren't there more of us than there are of them in terms of constituents and in terms of districts?
Yeah, but that's the beauty of gerrymandering and voter suppression, Scott.
Well, again, when we're in the campaigning part of it, toward the last 6 or 8 weeks of it, the framing in all of these individual races, where you got some dweeb that wants to take over the House seat currently held by either a less crazy Republican or hopefully a Democrat, you've got to frame those campaign ads for our side in the sense of, you know, here's what you've gotten for your Republican dollar these past 2 years, or what they would like to give you in the 2 years coming up. And then do as John Mitchell called it, give out the entire list of horribles, you know? And just, you may not sway too many people, but if you can sway enough, we can keep them from being able to measure the drapes or install the drapes. This is critical mission job one. And I know I keep beating that horse, but we cannot let them take the House or the Senate or two more years, the White House. And we've got to keep them out of power, for meaningful power, for as long as we can, so that we can set things right and get people into the habit of seeing that responsibility and adult behavior is a good thing. It's the American way, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. I mean, no argument. So as we come to the end of the program, Tamara out in San Diego, your neighbor, who told you where to get a decent glass of mead last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And helped us out with where to find a glass of truly terrifying pulque for you, found the joke.
Oh, really? I'm not your father. The bishop is your father?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
A young lady had unwantedly become pregnant and wanted an abortion. Unfortunately, a medical examination, and by the way, Tamara absolved herself of this at the beginning, saying, I didn't come up with this. I'm just trying to help my neighbor Scott out. Unfortunately, a medical examination showed she could not, and when told so by her doctor, she broke down and cried. I can't have a baby now, she said. There must be something you can do. The doctor thought about this for a while, and suddenly he came up with an idea. There's bound to be someone in this hospital in for an appendix operation when you give birth, and we'll just give her the baby and tell her it wasn't the appendix after all. Young lady agreed to his plan, but at the time she was giving birth, there were no women in for an appendix operation in the hospital. In fact, the only person who was an old priest. The doctor, desperately realizing the gravity of the situation and his promise, figured he might as well try anyway. The priest was overwhelmed, convinced this was an immaculate conception. He took his little son home. The years passed, and his son grew to become a fine boy. The priest was getting old, and finally he called his son to his deathbed. There's something I have to tell you, said the priest. I'm not your father. His son looked at him in surprise. The priest went on. You messed up the punchline just a little bit. Oh, God, this is good. The priest went on. I'm your mother.
the bishop is your father.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Tamara. I appreciate you. You filled in the blanks beautifully. And you're absolutely right. I'm not your father. I'm your mother. The bishop is your father. It makes all the difference, too.
God help me.
Would you do me a favor, Robin, and email me that joke?
Yeah, I will.
Because I got to post that thing, or at least keep a record, so that in my dotage, if it ever comes up again.
I'm your mother. The bishop is your father. Oh, God.
That's great. I'm so happy. I feel like...
But, honey, this one's eating my popcorn. Yeah, I know.
There are so few things that give you a sense of success and completion. But,
oh, there's an endorphin rush, there's an endorphin rush that happens to us when we experience joy and laughter. It's healthy.
That, too.
And, by the way, Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, the House of Representatives... I haven't fully recovered from the 4 years of 45. I don't know if I can weather Republican control of the House.
No, that way lies. Matt.
Well, it will be bedlam. I mean, it'll be the living personification of that collection of Kurt Vonnegut's essays and plays and short stories that was titled "Welcome to the Monkey House."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we don't want to go there. As entertaining as it could be on some level, we do not want to go there. Now, can I get a show of hands?
Oh, both of them. I'm kicking my shoes off, too.
Yeah, I mean, just think back to how much, quote, fun it was when they were in power. And make a list of the shit that they tried to pull and some of that they managed to get away with. Do we want to go back to that? You know? I don't.
You're out in California. States. Y'all aren't going to fuck this up.
No, hell no. We've got a record. We've got a record. But we didn't always have it. This is what gets me. There was a time in this country... when Republicans...
B1 Bob Dornan.
Bob Dornan and a series of governors along the way and...
Arnold was not that long ago.
I'm telling you, once you have gotten the taste out of your mouth and have moved on and seen how it can be better, you'd have to be out of your fucking mind. Well, what am I saying now? I'm talking about the GOP caucus.
Well, there you go.
Voters. So, well, Robin, we got some good stuff today, and I hadn't even intended to call, but I wanted to tell you about the bean soup.
And I'm glad you did. When does it arrive?
It should be here Thursday. I think is what they
well,
said.
Well, I expect. I know we all expect a review come Friday.
Now, some people serve it with saltines. Some people serve it with oyster crackers. I've seen, and cornbread seems to me the better choice.
Cornbread, so always cornbread. I mean, D.C. is a southern town. You know that cornbread.
We've got at the Vons in the bakery section, the fresh bakery section. They have a cornbread. That is sweet and flavorful like cornbread is, but it's got a pepper undertaste, and I think they'll chop up very very finely some kind of peppers.
Well, if you say I love what's called Mexican cornbread. I love cornbread with minced jalapenos in it, but cornbread is not supposed to be sweet.
Well, when I say sweet, I don't mean like that awful. Overwhelming sweetness that some cornbread has. I'm talking about just the natural sweetness of corn.
Yeah, that's what it's, yeah. And when it's piping hot and you put the butter on and it just,
Oh, and it's good.
Oh, but if you're going to Vons, go ahead, because that's owned by Kroger's, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
yeah,
well, get the cornbread and then go back to where the butter is and get the Private Selection French butter.
Private Selection French butter, okay.
And that will...
Do the cows wear berets?
Yes, the cows, they wear their berets.
Every little breeze seems to whisper low.
Good night, Scott.
Well, good night, Maurice. And you take care, and I hope all your consequences are tiny ones.
Yes, indeed. Scott, have a good evening, my friend.
All right, Robin, you too. See you. Bye, Hort family.
Bye, Scott. And so we come to the end of the program. There, from between now and 9 a.m., there remains $55 on the When Oil Companies Choose, You Lose challenge. It's a two-for-one challenge. It's a chance not to double your money, but to triple it if we can bring in 55 more bucks. And thanks to everybody who's responded so far. Thank you. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers with your kind gifts. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. The gifts you send keep this all afloat. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and happily now a union shop. Please stay safe. Boosters, vaccines, just because silly people aren't wearing their masks doesn't mean you shouldn't. Social distancing, hand washing, hand sanitizer. And, of course, if somebody comes wandering toward you saying, listen, one sixers, don't you take no plea deal. You need to go to prison like my hubby did. Avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Oh, and thank you, Scott. Scott just took us down to 45 bucks to go on the challenge. Thank you. And Stephen, New York's Zabar, five-pound Zabar's challenge is open until filled. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.